Today, a big topic is this idea of hospitality, of providing room, not just for Jesus, but also for others. If you paid any attention to news over the last months, year now, we've had so many refugees that have been coming into Europe, and that's been a big question. What do we do with them? How many do we allow? How do we interact with them? And I think the story of Jesus' birth, and then after that, how he goes to Egypt, and Jesus was a refugee himself. And there's a lot that we can get from the Bible about being hospitable to people, of welcoming people into our lives, into our homes, into our country. And so we're going to look a little bit at that today. We have been looking specifically at some of the example of a man named the Apostle Paul that had said, follow my example as I follow Jesus. And so as we're wanting to be like Jesus, then we look at examples of people who have lived out that Christ-like character. And we've seen the relationships, the friendships that he has, and how he has showed Christ and how other people have showed Christ to him. So today, we're looking at another one of those, a discipling relationship, we're calling it. A disciple is just a follower of Jesus, someone becoming more like Jesus. And the one we're looking at today is a woman named Lydia, as well as many others. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14 and 15, we're told about this woman named Lydia, that Paul and some of his co-workers were in the city of Philippi, and a woman named Lydia was present. And as she heard them preaching, then she decides, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Yes, this is what I've been looking for, what I've been waiting for. And so she goes up to the guys afterward and says, hey, so if you really accept me as a believer, here's what you should do. Come stay at my house. If you really accept me, come over and stay with me. And she apparently was insisting on it. We're told in verse 15 that she insisted, so we did. We stayed at her home, and that, again, was common for that time frame, and sadly, maybe isn't as common today that visitors will stay in homes, will visit people. If there's a guest in the city, that we make our homes be available for them, just like Lydia did there. She was welcoming him in, and she's certainly not the only one. In some of the other verses that we have, in Acts chapter 18, we're told of this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, that Paul went to live with for a while, as well as work alongside. In Galatians 1:18, we're told that Paul stayed with Peter for 15 days. He'd gone to Jerusalem, and we're told, 15 days, I got to stay with Peter. He writes later in Galatians that when he went to the people, a region of Galatia, he said, when I visited you, you welcomed me like I was the angel of the Lord. I mean, you took me in almost like you were taking in Jesus. The way that you cared, the way that you let me into your house, the food that you provided, you treated me as if I were Jesus, with that sort of a hospitality. Do we show that kind of hospitality as well? And there are several honorable mentions. We don't know exactly what some of these did, but Paul writes to Timothy about the household of Onesiphorus, and he says, they refreshed me, and they helped me in many, many ways. Well, a household refreshing him, maybe he stayed at their house. In 1 Corinthians, he talks about the household of Stephanas and says, they served, and they refreshed me. And you should submit to such people like these. You should give them recognition and honor because they serve God's people, because of their hospitality. That's not often the first things that people look for, I think, in a pastor or an elder in a church is this person hospitable? Maybe we should look at that more often. It seems like that's something that Paul looked at for his churches. That was an important point, is how willing are they, how open are they to let people into their lives and into their hearts? Because this thing about being church, this thing about being family, this thing about being the body of Christ, you have to do it together. A part of the body by itself doesn't work too well. And so for us to be the best functioning body we can, we need to be connected to one another. And this idea, this heart of hospitality is a big way that we stay connected. Paul also writes to someone that he says is a friend that owes him his very life. In the book of Philemon 1:22, he says, prepare a guest room for me because I'm going to your house. So he even just tells him, I'm showing up, have a place ready. But he had that sort of a friendship that he knew that this person will take me in. Why do we do that? Why this teaching? Yes, it's part of being family, and that makes sense. But Paul, over and over, writes about being generous and being hospitable to people. In Titus, he's telling them that here are some of my friends that are coming along the way, Zenas, the lawyers, and others, and help them along, because our people need to learn how to take care of people, and our people need to learn how to work so that they can provide for the needs of others. In 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul writes about that over and over. He says, also in Thessalonians, like, people need to be able to help take care of others. He tells them, if someone has been stealing, he should steal no longer, but must learn to work with his hands so that he'll have something to give. If you have a job that brings in money, praise God for it. But know that it's not simply so that you can have money to provide for yourself, and not even just so that you can provide for your immediate family, but God gives us the ability to make money so that we can be a blessing to others. Again, this is to be like Jesus. What did Jesus need us for? He came so that he could serve. He came so that he could give. May we be those same types of people. God has a personal perspective on our lives. We believe that there's this God who knows everything, who's above the universe, and yet knows us personally. And as we look at how he knows us personally, we also get involved in other people's lives personally, to be more and more like him, to care about people instead of just holding ourselves apart. And over, Paul talks about rich people. And he says, tell rich people to be generous, because when they do, they have that life that's truly life. He says, we have been made rich so that we can be generous. Now, here's an honest point. Most likely, if you're sitting in this room today, you are in the top, we'll just say 30%, give you even more room, the top 30% of wealthiest people in the world. 30 is actually stretching it. Most of us in this room are likely in the top 20, maybe even top 10% of wealthiest people in the world. The difficulty is we live in a country where most everyone else is that, so we compare ourselves against them and go, well, I'm not rich because I don't have so much money. That person has a nicer bicycle, a bigger house, has a better job, has whatever. And so when we compare to ourselves, no, we're not rich. But when we compare to what I've seen in so many other parts of the world, we're rich in this present generation. And it's so easy when we read verses about rich people should be generous to think, I'm not the rich people. When most likely you are. And as we have opportunity, let us do good to those that we can. It says that in Galatians 6:10. As you have opportunity, do good to those around you, especially to those that are family in Christ. He says, do good to everyone, but I mean, especially those, if you have someone who's a Christian that has a need, don't you want to help meet that need? And I'm grateful that we have people in our church that are that way, and that we've started the food package program so that we can help in small ways toward that, of providing people food in this area. And it's not that there isn't need. But let us find ways, let us consider more and more ways that we can do good. Why? Sounds kind of bad to say in church, but there's a reward for being generous. Paul says it pretty clearly in things. We have in these two verses, he says, you know what, you should remember the words of our Lord Jesus. He said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. It sounds like he's appealing to them, saying, if you want to be blessed, well then, this is how you should live your life. Be a generous person. Be a giving person. When he writes to the Philippians, he tells them a bit about his needs, and he says, I'm not telling you this because I desire your gifts. But what I desire is what can be credited to your account. He's saying, if you give, that somehow credits your account. That there will be a reward that comes from it. And sometimes that is a very financial way, and sometimes it's not. Most certainly, our focus, we see what is blessing. Blessing is so much more the spiritual. Blessing is so much more what God has done in our lives. And so blessing may not mean that you buy a Ferrari. That's not the most blessed person in the world, just because you have the fanciest things. But yes, God says that he will provide for our needs as we give towards others as well. There's reward if we do help. And honestly, there are consequences if we don't. In Matthew 25, Jesus is telling this parable of the sheep and the goats, and he says that it's like this king talking to people saying, you didn't accept me, you didn't help me, you didn't give me food when I was hungry, you didn't clothe me when I was naked, you didn't visit me when I was in prison or when I was sick, you didn't take me in. And people say, when did that happen? He said, whatever you have done for the least of people around you, whatever you've done for the lowest of the low, that was like doing it for me. But then to the others, he says, you did help me. You did feed me. You did clothe me. You did take care of me. And they said, when did we do that? He says the same thing. What you have done for the lowest of the low, what you have done for those in need, you have done for me. And for those that have been generous, hospitable people, there was blessing. He said, come into your master's happiness. But for those that had not chosen that way, he says, go away from me, because we don't have the same character. God's goal is to build in us his character, and that we'll be together and share as a family that has the same character. In the life of Jesus, we saw Jesus receiving help many times in very real ways, such as a place where he could be born. He also was welcomed into various people's houses. We're told, like Lazarus and Mary and Martha, that he would go to their house and they were preparing food, that he would get to stay there. Or Zacchaeus, one time he tells him, Zacchaeus, come down, I need to stay at your house. And so Jesus stays in that house. And that's what he tells his disciples to do as well. He sends out his 12 disciples. Later he sends out 72, and he says, as you go throughout this area, this region, telling people about the good news of the kingdom of God, stay in people's homes. Someone welcomes you, stay in their house, speak peace to their house, be a blessing to them while you're there. And receiving hospitality is also part of becoming more like Jesus. It's not simply being able to give, but it is to receive. I know some people who use that verse. Well, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive, so don't give me nothing, because I'm just going to be giving, and I feel bad when people give to me. Well, like Paul had said, you know what, I'll accept your gifts because it's actually good for you. Not just for me to receive your gifts, but it's a blessing for you to be able to show hospitality. It's a blessing for you to be able to be generous. And so, sometimes just accept it. Yes, it is something we should be careful of. You don't go around, and I should not go around being like, here, you should help me out, that way you'll get blessed. Give me a new car, that way you'll be blessed. That's obviously not the way that we should act. But to be willing to receive help is a good thing. And so some people in my life who have been like a Lydia or like an Aquila and Priscilla or some of these others, is Eric and Rebecca Tomier. When I was in university, we would take mission trips to Haiti. And on the return trip from one of those times, I had to have a place to stay for a few nights. And so they said, hey, come stay in our house. And they are, in some ways, they would say that I'm like a little brother to them. And they have definitely been welcoming. Geert-Jan from Maastricht, he's not actually from Maastricht, but his last name sounds like it. And when I was living in Amsterdam for half of a year, he said, hey, Matt, you can come stay with me. You're kind of in between things. We weren't ready to move down to Maastricht just yet. And so he let me live in his house. And I did have doors that closed, but it was like all glass, so you could see through into my bedroom all the time. But, you know, it was just he and I, two guys. You get comfortable around each other. It works out okay. Lee and Donna Keith, they are the parents of a friend of mine from high school. And when Christine and I were on our honeymoon, we were driving through their city. And I don't even know why we got the idea to ask them, or if my mom said, hey, you should ask them. But they let us stay for a night in their house as we were just on our way. And that was one of the really great memories, because we got to sit and have a meal and get to talk. And the conversation, the interaction that we got to have was just a blessing for us. And after that day, we're like, wow, that's really great. I would love to get to see them again. I haven't seen them since that one day. But even sometimes the impact you can have by just being a blessing to someone for one day can be memorable and might be an example in a sermon 5 years later. And then on the bottom right is the family that we get to stay with in Kenya. Pastor Ken and Mary, they have been gracious and hospitable and open their house to us every time that we've gone down there with our church. And they say, you're here to be a blessing to our people. How can we not be a blessing to you as well? And so I have had good friends in various parts of the world, Americans, Europeans, Africans as well, that wherever we are, we can find people that show the hospitality of Christ as we're learning to become more and more like Jesus. And I was doing a count just in my head to try to figure out how that's happened in this church. I don't normally stay at the people's houses overnight in this church, but I was thinking, how many homes have I walked into of people in this church? And my count, I think, is 95 different homes of people that I've been in. It's about equal, half and half. Half of those have been couples or families, and half of those have been individuals. And so that's something I at least can say for this church. Yes, they've at least been hospitable enough to let me into their home, whether for a meal or something like that. I didn't start counting up the people that have come to our house. It would be about the same. So this church has that. Here's my recommendation. Continue. Continue. Grow more and more in your love for one another. Grow more and more in your love for people who you've never met before. Like when we had a few weeks ago, we had this musical group that was from Israel, and they got to stay at people's homes. Or when we had the guest speaker from India, and a few people invited him for dinner, things like that. Continue to do that, because it will be a blessing. Even if it's only like for a day, and that's the only time you get to meet the person, show hospitality, because in that, you're getting to show hospitality to Jesus as well. And that is one of the things that we see so much at Christmas, right? He came to the world, and there's this sad part in John where it says he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. His own didn't really recognize him. Hopefully for us, when Jesus comes to us in the forms of people who have need or brothers and sisters in Christ, it won't be said of us that we didn't recognize him, but instead that we, just like the people of Galatia treated Paul, that we would treat them as though they were an angel from the Lord. We would treat them as though they were Jesus himself.